book of 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I don't like doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to tell you something, and it is this. You've heard this message before. I don't like telling you when I do that. I don't know, but for some reason my conscience bothers me. I feel like I'm confessing a sin or something. You know, I don't know what it is. It's not a sin, I know that. But I feel like, well, maybe I should tell them, you know. It's been a few years back, but I tell you, I love it though whenever the Lord leads me to this type of message, because it's very needed. It's, you know, just because you preach something once doesn't mean it doesn't need repeated, doesn't it? How many times does the Apostle Paul, when he's writing, he basically says, I've said this before. I say this in remembrance, which means that he's already told him before. We need reminded. And this is something that we really need to grasp as God's people. And I just want to encourage you today, no matter where you're at, to listen to this message. And I really believe that if you get the spirit of this message and what we say sinks in, I really believe that in your doubts and your fears you come to as a Christian, where you're at with God, when you face those things, you'll face them. That this will help you, and you'll turn to the book of 1 John, and God will use it. God will use it for you as His child to give you assurance. If you're His child, He will do that. And so our message today is blessed assurance. So now you got a little bit of a clue what we guys are going to sing at the end of the message. 1 John chapter 1, and I want to read verse 4, and then we're going to read chapter 5, verse 13. I actually first preached this. You know, I think too much of my preaching, because when I preach something I've preached before, I think, wow, they'll remember that, you know. And I preached it 7 years ago. You've heard hundreds of sermons since then. You've about to forgot it. But anyhow, that's when I first preached it. 1 John 1, 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So he tells us from the very beginning, this is why I have written what I have written. Now let's read towards the end. Okay, chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John 5, 13. Now, we're going to be all over the book of 1 John. So, it's all going to be close. You can turn and look at a lot. But I'm going to keep you right there in the book of 1 John. 1 John 5, 13 says this. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You see that? He said, first of all, I've written that you might have joy. And then he says, I've written that you might that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might have, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Does that sound kind of backwards to you when you read it? That you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God? It does at first, doesn't it? Because we know we believe first, and then we have eternal life. There's a reason why he says it, but it's because he's already talking to believers. He's already talking to believers, and that definitely adds to the interpretation of that. Let's go to the Lord's Word of Prayer. The message title this morning is Blessed Assurance. Father, help us today as we look into the Word of the living God. Help us as we open the Scriptures up and seek to teach and preach them today. I pray for your people this morning, Lord, that are here. Lord, that they would be encouraged, Lord, as we work through the book of 1 John and see some main thoughts. And as we look at it, that your people would rejoice today as they see the evidences in your word that they indeed have the Spirit of God. And that they might rejoice in the blessed assurance that your Spirit and word gives. And Lord, I pray for those that are here this morning that are without the Spirit of Christ. Lord, they are not saved. They've not been born again. I pray, Lord, that you would show them that they would see that they're void of the evidence of the Spirit of God, and that you would work through that and make them cry out to you that they might repent and believe the gospel. Father, so use it in both ways this morning and encourage the hearts of your people. May 1 John be our go-to book as your people when we experience the doubts and fears that we may go through, that you might assure our hearts that we indeed are your children. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. First of all, we already stated in 1 John 1:4 that he wrote these things unto them that their joy may be full. Then in 5:13, he wrote these things so that those who believed on the name of the Son of God would know that they have eternal life. And so we have the title for our morning message, Blessed Assurance, Joy, Blessedness, Assurance, that you might know you have eternal life. Do you know that this morning? Do you know this morning that you have eternal life? We can know that we know. And so I want to encourage you in that. Even if you're experiencing some doubts right now, that doesn't mean that you're not saved. It does not mean that at all. If every person experienced doubts about their salvation, means that they're not saved, that they aren't saved, that we would be in all trouble, wouldn't we? We've all faced doubts in our life. And so 1 John is written to us who believe, who already believe, that we might know. Do you know that you know? And so if you don't, if you're a child of God, I believe this message will help you with that. Give you confidence and assurance that you indeed are a child of God. If throughout this message the Spirit and the Word is saying, you're not one of God's child, you don't have the Spirit of God, you need to listen to that. You need to listen to that. But this message is focusing on God's people giving that assurance. Now, there are many who believe today that you just can't know that you are saved. And to say that you know you are saved, especially among our Amish friends, would say that is overconfidence or even prideful. Well, it's not, because our confidence isn't in ourselves. And that's what we have to understand. Now, if I knew I was saved because I was trusting in my good works, that would be prideful. But if I know I'm saved because of what Jesus Christ has done, that's faith and confidence and assurance of the Spirit. So I can understand why our Amish friends would think that it's prideful, can't you? If they themselves, not all of them do, but if they themselves hold a theology of works salvation, well, of course it would be prideful for me to say, I know I'm saved, because that's in essence saying, I know I'm good enough, you know. But we don't believe that. But anyhow, so there, not only our Amish friends, but those even that claim Christianity, many would say, well, you just can't know that you're saved. Well, the Bible teaches us that we can have, Hebrews 6:11, full assurance. I love it. Full assurance. Wouldn't you like to have that? Full assurance. That means no room lacking. That means you are confident in your assurance of God's work. Confidence in our standing with Christ. Now, it's obvious from the Word that not all Christians live with that same assurance. If we can have full assurance, that means we don't always have full assurance. It's not something that everyone has at all times. So, but we want to grow in that. So John says in 5:13, he says that he's writing unto those that believe that they may know that they have eternal life, and that they may believe on the name of the Son of God. So he wrote this to believers to increase their assurance of eternal life, to confirm the faith that they already apparently possessed. All of us as God's children need that from time to time, don't we? We need assurance of our relationship with Jesus. You know, when you have a relationship that is struggling, let's just take a marriage for example, what do you as a leader and lover of your wife, what should you do? If there's some doubts and fears about your marriage, about your connectivity, about your relationship with one another, is she fearful of this or that? What's going on? What do? Well, you spend time together. You assure her of your love and devotion and affection for her. You strengthen that bond to give her assurance of your commitment and love to her. And that's what the Lord does for us in His Word. We can turn to the Word of God, and God will give us that. Now, as we as God's people, we no doubt will face seasons of doubt, and we need refreshed and reminded and convinced by God's Spirit that we indeed are one of His. First of all, this morning, consider John's confidence. I tell you what, you're going to love the book of 1 John. If you're not familiar with it, you're going to love it. You know, anytime I have someone who is struggling with whether or not they are saved, I've said this many times, but it's true. I've found it work so often. I just say, hey, go to the book of 1 John. Read it. If you have the Spirit of God, you're born again of the Spirit of God, when you read that, you're going to come out on the other side with assurance and confidence. If you read it prayerfully and seek the Lord, and you read it and say, I don't have the Spirit of God, then yes, you need saved. But the Word of God will give us the confidence we need. And so that's why it's there. We must tell people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But there are evidences of that being born of the Spirit that comes out of our life. John had confidence. Now at the end we're going to see why he had some of that confidence. But John had confidence. I love the language of 1 John. Look at some of these verses we have listed up here. You can turn to them or not, but I want to highlight them because I just love looking at it. 1 John 2:3, he says, we do know that we know Him. 2:5, hereby know we that we are in Him. 3:2, we know that. And then he later says, we shall be like Him. 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. 3:19, hereby we know that we are of the truth. 3:24, hereby we know that He abides in us. 4:13, hereby know we that we dwell in Him. Now that's confidence. That's assurance. John's writing, and he says, I want you guys to know. That's why we have this book. So vital to us. I believe we can have that same kind of confidence and assurance that John has that we see in this book. If you don't have that and you're a child of God, you should want that and you can have that. I really believe that with all of my heart. I kind of believe it. I think I do. No, I believe that. That was a joke, by the way. I meant to do that. We see John was confident in his position with Christ. When you look at all those verses, we find that John knew that he was in Christ. He knew that Christ was in him. He knew that one day he would be like Christ. He knew that he had the life of Christ. He knew he had the truth of Christ. Listen, you can be very assured of your relationship between you and Jesus Christ. There's no need to linger in limbo of doubt and fear. There is assurance for you as a child of God. And I'm certain that we can have that kind of confidence. Now let's state this next, and you're going to see all this throughout the book of 1 John 2, that assurance is the work of God's Spirit within. That's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit within the child of God, is to assure us that we are a child of God. Jesus said in John 3, He says what? We must be born again. We must be born of the Spirit. Listen, maybe you're struggling with some doubts on whether you're saved. Too many people, to get assurance of their salvation, just think about, well, I remember what happened 20 years ago. I know I'm saved because 20 years ago, preacher said this, I felt this, I did this. Let me tell you what, when you get old, you're going to forget a lot of that. And I've said this so many times, but it's so important that we get it. I've known people who I'm certain were saved at a very young age. And you know what? They can't remember it. Now, are they lost because they can't remember it, the day? Of course not. Listen, here's one thing the Scriptures definitely teach, that when you're born again, you have the Spirit of God. Listen, He's not going anywhere. He's there. When we're saved, we have eternal life. When the Spirit takes up abode, He's not leaving. And so what I'm saying is this, is that when you've been born again of the Spirit, even if it was 5, 6 years old, guess what? You still have the Spirit of God today. So you don't have to go to the past to find out about your future. You don't have to go back to how you felt or what the preacher said. Listen, you can have assurance of the Spirit of God today. So today, don't look at, well, what happened then? My experience isn't like his experience. Your experience isn't going to be like Brother Johnson's experience. My experience isn't going to be like yours. We can't look to that to assure us. We can rejoice in how God brought us to faith. And even if you were brought to faith as a young child and can't remember, rejoice in that. That God delivered you from some things in your life, very possibly. And so all of us should rejoice in however the Lord brought us to faith. But the bottom line is, if you have the Spirit of God, or born again of the Spirit, you have the Spirit today within you. That's His job, is to assure us. Look at some of these verses in the Word of God. 1 John 2:27, he talks about the Spirit there. And he says this, that He abides in you, abideth in you. 3:24 says, the Spirit which He has given us. 5:6 talks about the Spirit that bears witness. And then in 5:10 talks about us have the witness in Himself, that we have the witness in ourselves. The Spirit of God, one of His jobs is to assure us that we are a child of God. As a child of God, you have within you that Spirit. If someone does not possess the Spirit of God, then they are not a child of God. And that's just that simple. Romans 8:9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Listen, so He assures us. He assures us of our relationship to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, what? He shall testify of Me. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit, Romans 8, that we are a child of God. Now, people can, we do need to take note of this, people can deceive themselves into thinking they're right with God. We can't say that people don't do that. People do that. And they deceive themselves into thinking that they're right with God. It's very possible. Look in 1 John 1:8. 1 John 1:8. We just want to make a quick thought here. 1 John 1:8, He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and what? And the truth is not in us. Listen, the Spirit of God is not going to give you assurance that you are right with God by assuring you that you don't sin anymore. He's not going to do that. Because if you're trying to figure out if you're saved or not, well, I'm pretty good. That's not what the Spirit does. He doesn't point out your flawlessness to assure you of who you are in Christ. He actually will point more at our sin. Now, some people deceive themselves into thinking that they have arrived at a spiritual level of sinlessness and think that that is a sign that they are truly born again. If the assurance of your salvation is based upon your perceived sinless perfection, and I know nobody here believes that, at least I wouldn't think so, then that is something that you have told yourself and not what the Holy Spirit has showed you. Listen, so we're not about convincing ourselves, deceiving ourselves. We are about the Word of God and the Spirit of God, which is truth, convincing us that we are a child of God. So this assurance is not by you looking at how perfect you are. This assurance needs to be gotten by the convincing of God's Spirit within, not by the constant convincing of your own reasoning, of your own interpretations, of your own experiences, or even of other people's words, or of other people, what they say, that they think. If you're seeking this morning to know if you're right with God, if you've been born of the Spirit, then go to the Word of God, the Spirit-breathed book, and go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to show you. And as you have the Spirit of God in you as a child of God, this Word will bear witness through the Spirit of God that you are one of His. And when He shows you that, it gives you blessed assurance. It gives you joy to the full. You know, we should never fear. We should never fear obeying the admonition of Peter when he says, make your calling and election sure. We shouldn't fear that and run from it. We should embrace it and say, yes. We should run towards that. We shouldn't be afraid of what we'll find out if we do that. But go to the Word of God. Ask God to show you. Because, I mean, if you're not saved, don't you want to know? Do you want to just keep telling yourself it's all okay, or do you want to know? I would hope that everyone here would say, listen, if I'm not saved, I want to know. If I've deceived myself into thinking I'm something that I'm not, I want to know that. So I hope that everyone would want that. You can deceive yourself and lie to yourself over and over again and convince yourself that it's all okay. So ask yourself, is your assurance the work of God's Spirit, or is it you seeking to convince yourself? Because assurance must be the work of God's Spirit. You know, I've never taken the approach that, as a minister of the gospel and dealing with people about salvation, I've never taken the approach that I need to tell them, hey, I know you've been born again. You know, I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with saying that to people, because you see the evidence. Paul and Thessalonians said, hey, I know you're one of God's elect. Look at all this. So there is a place for that. When people are dealing and struggling with salvation, listen, I think the Spirit of God can give them that assurance. And so I point them to the signs of the Spirit of God, encourage them to go to the Word of God, and God can show them that and give them that assurance. Now let's quickly go through some signs of the Spirit of God within. So what does the Spirit of God do within us, and what are some signs that we actually possess the Spirit of God? This is important, because if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. But if you come to this, what the Word of God teaches, and say, hey, that's me. I have the Spirit of God. Man, that gives you assurance. And that's why we have this. First of all, a sign of the Spirit of God is that you will know that Jesus is the Christ. But He always points to Him, folks. Always the Spirit points to Him. In 1 John 2:2, He says this, or 2:22, I'm sorry, 2:22. It says, who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. So you deny who Jesus is, you deny that He's the Christ. That's not the Spirit of God, that's the Spirit of Antichrist. 4:1-2. 1 John 4:1-2. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Listen, the Spirit of God will always confess who Jesus Christ is. 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. Listen, it doesn't matter how well a religion may dress itself morally. Listen, there's a lot of religions out there that you are going to agree with them on some moral issues. You're going to agree with a lot of Muslims on some moral issues. You realize that? You are. But you know what? You're not going to agree on who Jesus Christ is. And so it's not just a matter of making sure that that we have good moral standards. Well, I have good moral standards. I know I'm saved. I don't believe in abortion. I know I'm saved. I don't believe in homosexuality. I know I'm saved. Let me tell you what, there's a lot of lost people that don't believe in those things. There are a lot of what we would might term good moral people. But they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So it doesn't matter if you necessarily take strong stands against those things that are wrong. That doesn't necessarily say that you are born of the Spirit. If you deny who Jesus is, then it says you do not possess the Spirit of the living God. God cannot deny Himself, so then His Spirit will not deny who Jesus is. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you know who Jesus is this morning? Do you know that Jesus is the Christ? Do you know that He is the Son of the living God? Peter confessed that. And Jesus said to him what? He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. Right? He didn't know it by his own carnal reasoning or by somebody else. But he said, but God had shown that to him. Now when the Lord saves you, gives you His Spirit, let me tell you what else changes. You then have a desire, a love for holiness in your life. It doesn't mean we don't have the old flesh still. But because we're born of the Spirit, we have repentance worked in us, as our brother mentioned, and now we want the righteous things of God. We now have a desire for holiness. Now, wanting to do holy, good things, to be right with God, to make yourself right with God, no. That's not what this is about. But the evidence of the Spirit of God within you is that now you will have a different relationship, if you would, with righteousness. You have a different relationship with the world. You've turned from the world and you've turned to Christ and to follow Him in His Word. And you want to live for Jesus. And you want to be like Jesus. So your relationship to who Jesus is changes. Your relationship to Christ changes because now you want Jesus. You want to be like Him. You have a desire for holiness that you didn't have before. 1 John 2:4 says this, "He that saith, I know Him, and keeps not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." As if you're trying to say that you know Jesus, but you don't want to obey Jesus, you've deceived yourself. Quit trying to tell yourself everything's okay between you and God if you do not want to obey the commandments of the Lord. He that says, I know Him, and keeps not His commandments. So there's going to be some people that say, I know Jesus, but they don't want to obey Jesus. He says, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. Listen, you've been deceived or you're just lying. But if you have an earnest desire to follow after the commandments of God, I didn't say if you're perfect in all commandments, but is there that desire and for holiness to follow after the commands of God? That's a sign of the Spirit. And listen, this is not, this holy desire and delight in the holy things of God is not something that the natural man can produce in himself. It's not something you can produce in yourself. It is a something given to us by the Spirit of God. Now, some may seek to deceive themselves by saying to themselves they are saved by they don't do or do certain things. But the difference will be that the things that we do or don't do, the holy things of God, listen, God changes your heart to a point to where now you can actually take delight in it. And that's what changes. I remember, you know, man, when I went to church as a young boy, I was lost. I did not like doing right things. I was forced to do right things, made to do right things, and you got to do that when your kids are little. But you know what we want for all of our kids is one day God gives our heart so that they will want to do right things. That's something only the Spirit of God can do in them. You can't do it as a parent. You don't have the power to do it. That's a work of the Spirit of God. And when God gets a hold of your heart, you want righteousness. You want to do right. And if you don't want to do right, you don't have God. And that's the sadness of this. That if you don't have that right now, but you will have a desire and appreciation for holiness, though, if you are saved and born of the Spirit. In 3:8-10, we're not going to deal with all this, but it can be confusing to people when they read through 1 John, so I just want to deal with it just for a minute, because I think people come to this and they get confused, and so you might listen to this message and say, hey, I'm going to go back and read 1 John, all of it. Then you come to this and say, what does this mean? And so it can be confusing for people, but I want to deal with it just for a minute. 1 John 3:8-10. So he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Whoa. You see what I'm saying? Okay, what's this mean? Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. I committed a sin yesterday. Right? Well, some of you might be thinking, I committed a sin yesterday. I must not be born of God. For his seed remains in him, for he cannot sin. Uh-oh, I'm not even able to sin if I'm born of God. Can you see how people can look at that and think that? Because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And we'll deal with that one in a moment, the latter part. As said, many have confused this to mean that the child of God can never sin. And that's why this is one of the verses people use to teach sinless perfection. It's almost a necessity to believe it from their perspective. This teaching would be total contrary, though, if you compared it Scripture to Scripture. In chapter 1, what did we just read? He that says he has no sin has deceived himself. And so we must think about it in that context. It appears to be very clear that it's talking about a life of habitually sinning. Here's where the King James Version helps us here a great deal, because that word committeth, that "uth" right there is actually helpful because it speaks of continuance. Continue in. Listen, if a person says they're saved and they're just continuing in a certain sin, and I'm going to do what I want, do what my will is, I'm going to sin, I don't care what God thinks. Listen, let me tell you what, you don't have the Spirit of God. You're lost and on your way to hell. When you have a life of just sinfulness and don't care what the Word says, don't have a desire for holiness, listen, don't try to deceive yourself that you're right with God. And so that's where that is important. That "uth" speaks of that continuance. For the devil sinneth, he says, from the beginning. He said he's never stopped sinning. The devil hasn't. But notice this also is an important thing to bring out as well. I think is very important. In verse 9, he says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Our spirit is born of God, but our fleshly nature isn't. Our spirit is born of God, but our fleshly nature isn't. John 3:6, where Jesus talked about being born again, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Listen, the Spirit of God will never, ever, one time lead us to sin. Ever. If we're walking in the Spirit, guess what? We don't sin, right? But it's the flesh that we still struggle with. We still have that old Adamic nature that wants sin. That will lead us to sin every time. So hopefully you can see that difference. Our flesh isn't born of God. It is born of the flesh. Now next, I need to move on here. Here's something else that will change for you. You have a desire for truth. You have a desire for truth. The Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth there in 1 John 5:6. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. In John 14:17, Jesus said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. As a believer, you have the Spirit of God in you. And because the Spirit of God is truth, you want truth. You want the Word of God. Listen, there's a reason why whole congregations can go service after service without having the Word of God opened and even care. Listen, the Spirit of God isn't in those kind of things. The Spirit of God loves the Word of God, the truth of God. Do you want the Word of God in your life? A desire for truth. Oh, give me truth. Let me know what's real, what God says. Even when it goes against me, I want to know what's right, what is true. Do you have that desire? Do you want truth no matter what? You want to know what's right? Yes, I want the truth, Pastor. I want to know what God says. I know who Jesus is. I want to live for Jesus. I want the truth. That's signs of the Spirit of God within you. And that should give you assurance. And God whispers through His Word, you are one of mine. Isn't that blessed assurance? I love it. I'll tell you what else will change. I'm going to rush ahead a little bit. So your relationship to this book changes. You want truth. And then your relationship to God's people changes. You will love God's people. In 1 John 2, he says this in verse 10. 1 John 2, verse 10. He that loves his brother abideth in the light. Verse 9, I'm sorry, I didn't read verse 9 first. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. In chapter 3, verse 10, we already read it, but the end, he says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. I mean, whose child are you, right? You're a child of God or a child of the devil? Listen, there's no in between. Child of God or child of the devil. Here's the difference. Whosoever that doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. You see that? If you're a child of God, you love your brother. You love those of God's people. It doesn't mean you hate everybody else. But listen, there is affection, a desire, a longing for the people of God. They're the bestest of people to you. You love the people of God. When you've been born again of God's Spirit, your life changes real quick because you find out that now you love God's people. I tell you what, when I was first saved, I told a lot of people this, they don't understand it, but when I was first saved, I was one of the most loneliest guys out there. I really was. I really struggled with loneliness when I was first saved. I did. Because I tell you what, my whole world changed so much. I mean, all of my friends, all the people I desired to be around, all the partying and the drinking and all of the things I wanted to go alone with that. I mean, the people I wanted those things. And all of a sudden, my heart changes. Now I want righteousness. Now I want to go to the church. I want to find out the truth. I was in the Word trying to find out what is truth. I was asking God, what is right? What is truth? My friends I associated with, they didn't want that. And all of a sudden, I found out there I am. I looked around. I didn't have anybody. I wasn't going to any church particularly at that moment. And I didn't have anybody. But I, all of a sudden, when the Lord showed me a good church to go to that I felt like I was preaching the truth, I found out, man, look at all these people that love the Word of God, that love Jesus. I wanted to be with them. I wanted to be in the house of God with them and learn the truth and be in their fellowship. Your relationship to the house of God, to the people of God, that all changes whenever you're born of the Spirit of God. There's a reason why that we grow up and even in church and we never want to be there. There's a reason why that we have to be forced to go. There's a reason why we have to be threatened to go. There's a reason. This right here has got to change. Listen, only God can do that for our children. And for anybody else that's older. Only He can do that. And let me tell you what, when He gets a hold of you, you will love the people of God. 1 John 4:7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. Don't you love that? Verse 12 of 1 John 4, No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. It is grown in us. Are you growing in your love for the Lord's people? I know this. I love the Lord's people now more than I did when I was first saved. That's a sign of growth, I think, that all of God's people should have. Verse 16, And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Aren't the Scriptures just so clear on that? When you've been born again of God's Spirit, your life drastically changes because you find out now you love God's people. Whereas before you may have tolerated them, put up with them, but now you love them. What's your relationship like with the people of God? Young people, that might even mean your own parents that are saved. Do you love them? Might mean the person sitting next to us in the pews. As you see the signs of God's Spirit at work within, Say, man, I got this. I'm not saying you've got it, like you got control, but you've got it in you, the Spirit of God. It gives you that assurance. And as you see the evidence of the Spirit of God within you, it gives you great joy. Now, let's jump back to 1 John. We're going to close here very shortly. 1 John 1. I want you to see this real quick because it's so important. John is known as, refers to himself in the book of John as what? As the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, did Jesus love the other disciples? Of course he did. But John, I believe, had a very unique closeness to Christ. He's always close to him. When Jesus speaks about, when he gives like groups of three, names of three that are around him, John's right there. When he's at the Lord's table, Lord's Supper, John's right there close to his bosom. He's close to Jesus. Look what John says. Consider what all we've said and think about John who wrote this. 1 John 1, let's read verse 1 through 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Who's he talking about? Talking about Jesus. He said what? We've seen him, we've looked on him, we've touched him. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. He said, I'm going to tell you all about Jesus I know so that you can fellowship with us. He wanted them to have what he had, to know what he knew, to know Jesus as he knew Jesus so that they could walk with him in this walk with Jesus. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, if you have to walk away from Jesus to be with somebody, you are headed into trouble. John says, I'm telling you this so you can walk with Jesus with us. He's saying, I'm not leaving Jesus to walk with you, basically. If you want to walk with me, fellowship with the saints, you got to walk with Jesus. And here's where this is at. Now, John was close to Jesus. You want to get close to John? Get close to Jesus. Because that's where John's at. And that's the way it should be in our life. We should get close to Jesus. And anybody who wants to get close to Jesus, they should be able to get close to us. Four times does John refer to himself in the gospel as the disciple whom Jesus loved. John lived in a reality of the love of Christ for him. Because he was close to Jesus. As we abide close to Christ, this assurance of God's love to us will develop and grow. And our love for Him will grow. It doesn't mean Jesus loves us more. But it does mean that we live in reality of His love more. We need to fellowship with Jesus and with others who are close to Jesus. And I tell you what, it'll change our life drastically. Child of God, this morning, I pray that God give you that blessed assurance. It is possible to be confident and to know. As if you're here this morning and you don't have that, it's my desire that God show you that you don't have the Spirit of Christ and that God will touch your heart. And He'll show you that and that you will call upon God. And that's got to be the work of the Spirit too. But you'll call upon God and ask God to give you spiritual life, to draw you to Himself, to give you that repentance and faith. You can't save yourself. Where's your heart at? Do you know this morning that you have eternal life? Maybe you're still dealing with doubts and fears. You know what? Go back to 1 John, read it this week. Prayerfully seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and say, Lord, show me if I'm one of yours. If I'm not, Lord, I want to know. I hope that everyone here would want to know. Listen, if you made a profession of faith years ago and you're still doubting after years and years and years, listen, just put that out of your mind what people may think, would you? Please. We love you. You're not going to hurt our feelings or make us upset with you if you say, listen, I made a profession of faith years ago and I've known ever since I never really was saved. But I know now. No, we're not going to laugh at you. We're not going to say, well, how could you deceive us all those years? No. We love you. We want everyone here to know if they know Christ or not. Nothing to be ashamed of there. Make sure you know that you know. That's what I want for everyone here. Let's pray, and then we're going to have the men that want to come and sing. You can. And I'm going to ask everyone to join us on the last verse. But let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you would use this message this morning and to give us that blessed assurance. And Father, I know you will for your people. And I pray for those of your people that this message, Lord, be used of you to give them blessed assurance. And Lord, if they have received that assurance this morning, then surely that's the work of your word and your spirit, and I praise you for that work. And Father, I pray for those that maybe in this message they've said, I know I don't have the Spirit of God. God, I pray that you'd help them change their heart and not only open their eyes to where they're at with you, but Lord, change their hearts and help them to want that. We pray, O Spirit of God, blow among us and work in the hearts of men, women, and children and draw them to yourself. Help us to live each day in blessed assurance. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.